is net na 9 op 'n donderdagoggend en dit beteken is tyd vir Vreugde Joy met my, Bertha Leroux. Vreugdevolle goeiemôre aan ieder en elk wat vanoggend ingeskakel is hier op Radio Kansel 657 AM en natuurlik ook DStv kanaal 882, OpenView 607 en as jy nog sukkel kan jy gaan luister op www.radiokansel.co.za of op ons toep wat jy kan aflaai op jou foon. So welkom, welkom. Ek hoop jy het 'n heerlike oggend sover en dat jy die res van die oggend tot net so voor 11 saam met my sal geniet op die program Vreugde Joy. Ek wil vanoggend graag vir ons begin deur te lees uit Psalms 56. Die hele Psalm. Dis 'n psalm van Dawid, 'n miktam, toe die Filistyne hom in Gat gevang het. Wees my genadig, o God, want mense treiter my. Die hele dag tuister veglustige mense my. My teenstanders treiter my die hele dag. Ja, baie veg teen my uit die hoogte. Die dag wanneer ek bang is, vertrou ek op U. Op God, ek loof sy woord, op God vertrou ek. Ek sal nie bang wees nie. Wat kan vlees en bloed aan my doen? Die hele dag verdraai hulle my woorde. Teen my is al hulle kwaadwillige planne gerig. Hulle val my gedurig aan. Hulle lê en wag. Hulle hou my spore dop terwyl hulle my lewe soek. Sal hulle ondanks die onreg vrykom? Werp mense neer in toren, o God. U het self my lotgevalle opgeteken. Hou toch my trane in die leersak. Staan dit nie in die boekrol nie. Dan sal my vyande terugdeins op die dag wanneer ek roep. Dit weet ek. God is vir my. Op God, ek loof sy woord. Op die Here, ek loof sy woord. Ja, op God vertrou ek. Ek is nie bang nie. Wat kan 'n mens aan my doen? Op my, o God, rus die beloftes aan U. Die geloftes aan U. Ek sal het nakom met dankoffers aan U, want U het my lewe uit die dood weggeruk. Het U dan nie my voete van struikeling bewaar, sodat ek voor God kan leef in die lig van die lewe nie? Ek lees tot daar, dit is die hele Psalm, Psalms 56. Sjoe, dit is 'n wonderlike Psalm, want ek dink nogal, baie van ons voel asof ons regtig aangeval word. En dan wil ons soos Dawid hê dat die teenstanders, die mense wat ons aanval, plat geslaan word. Dat hulle gevang word en dat hulle tereggestel word en dat hulle tot reg sal tot die reg gewys sal word. Maar wat doen Dawid? Doen hy daai teregstelling self? Nee. Hy sê vir die Here wat aangaan. Die Here weet wat aangaan, maar hy sê, dit is wat gebeur in my hart. En dan sê hy, ek sal nie bang wees nie, want wat kan vlees en bloed aan my doen? En dan sê hy weer, och, die hele dag verdraai hulle my woorde. En ek weet, ons kom baie keer in ons lewe in so 'n situasie waar ons woorde verdraai word, en waar ons lyk asof ons die mense is wat nie reg is nie. En ons voel ons is reg. Wat doen Dawid? Hy sê, werp hierdie mense neer in toren, o God. Hy sê, ek is kwaad vir hulle. Maar, U het self my lotgevalle opgeteken. Hou toch my trane in die leersak. Hy gaan soek vir troosting by die Here. Hy gaan praat met die Here oor hierdie probleem. Dan sal die vyande terugdeins op die dag wanneer ek roep. Dit weet ek, God is vir my. En dit is iets wat jy altyd by jou kan hou. God is vir jou. En soms werk hy op 'n ander manier as wat jy beplan het. Hy moet werk. Soms is dit 'n bietjie anders hoe hy te werk gaan om jou weer op te lig. Ek loof sy woord. Op God, Ek loof sy woord. Op die Here, ek loof sy woord. Ja, op God vertrou ek. Ek is nie bang nie, want wat kan 'n mens aan my doen? So terwyl jy wag, loof die Here. Prys die Here. Rig jou gedagtes, begin om jou gedagtes weg te neem van hierdie dreigement wat in jou lewe is. Op my, o God, rus die geloftes aan U. Ek sal dit nakom met dankoffers aan U, want U het my lewe uit die dood weggeruk. Dit het die Here reeds vir ons gedoen. Hy het ons reeds ons sondes vergewe. Hy het reeds vir ons die ewige lewe gegee. Ons kan net in dankbaarheid na Hom toe gaan. Praat met die Here oor jou probleme. Moenie dit uitbeklei op Facebook en op sosiale media nie. Praat met die Here. Moet dit nie uitbeklei voor ander mense en dinge nie. Ek weet, dit is 'n uitdaging om jouself daar terug te hou. En daardie uitdaging wil ek vir jou sê, gaan makliker wees wanneer jy aanhou om op God te vertrou. Wanneer jy, soos hy sê, 3 keer sê, ek sal nie bang wees nie, want ek vertrou die Here. Want die Here is vir my. Laat hom toe om vir jou te wees. Geef hom daardie spasie om vir jou te wees. En wat doen jy? Ek kan nie net sit en niks doen nie. Ek kan nie net sit dat mense my beswadder nie. Wat doen jy? Jy gaan en jy lofprys. Jy prys die Here. Jy sê dankie Here vir wat U reeds vir my gedoen het. Dankie Here dat ek weet U is vir my. Dankie Abba Vader vir die liefde wat U in my lewe maak. Dat U dit vir my sigbaar maak wanneer ek dit nodigste het. Ons bid Here dat U my oë sal oopmaak vir dit wat mooi is en dit wat goed is, dit wat prysenswaardig in my lewe is. Here, dat ek hierdie aanvalle, wat die vyand so genadeloos voor my gooi elke dag, dat ek dit kan afweer met lofprysing. Dat ek dit nie gaan, wat die Engelse woord sê, is reciprocate. Ek gaan dit nie teruggooi en dan begin ons net 'n kring loop nie. Here, laat ons dit so bewerkstellig. Here, vergewe my vir die kere wat ek dit wel gedoen het. Vergewe my vir die kere wat ek opgetree het in vurige passie. Wat ek opgetree het uit moedeloosheid. Wat ek opgetree het uit oomblikke wat ek nie kon verstaan het hoe U plan werk nie. Here, ons is U ewig dankbaar vir die liefde en genade in ons lewens. Amen. Hier is die program Vreugde Joy. My naam is Vertel Rivaal en ons kuier so lekker in die ateljee dat ons amper sonder julle voortgegaan het. So ek hoop jy sit reg. Ons gaan vanoggend weer 'n bietjie in Engels kuier want ons het 'n wonderlike gas hierso wat net Engels praat en ja, dan gaan ons haar getuienis ook bietjie hoor. Dit is natuurlik Mosaic Upliftment wat by ons kom kuier en dit is Gerard in Daniela, and now we're going to switch over to English, so we speak the language very deliciously around here. I hope you will join us in celebrating what they are doing in God's kingdom at the moment. So good morning, both of you. Wait, I've got to put on this. There, okay. Yes, now.
Good morning.
Yay.
Good
morning, Bertha.
Hello, luisteraars.
It's lekker om jou te sien, Gerard. Of Geraldo. And Daniela, what do we call him?
Geraldo.
Oh, there you go. You see, that is the Portuguese.
Yes.
That's the Portuguese name that he's now. How long have you been in Mozambique?
22 years permanently.
Yeah. 22 years permanently in Mozambique. So we're going to start. And I always start with the first question. just so that our listeners can understand your heart. And that's, how did, Daniela, how did your relationship with God start? When you realized, wow, this is, he cares about me, little old me.
Thank you for this question. It's always a privilege to share the testimony and how my relationship with God started. Actually, when I was 7, I got my first Bible from my grandmother. She was the reference of a Christian in my family, and she didn't know how to read. So she would ask me to read the Bible for her.
Oh.
Then it was like, it was the God of my grandmother, because I saw her, she prayed, she worshipped God. But then when I was 14, I had my decision. I said, no, I'll get baptized, I will walk with Jesus. And since then, since I was 14 till now, I've been walking this path with him, and my life's been his.
And okay, so you, from where are you from?
I'm from Brazil.
You from Brazil?
Yes.
Okay. And that is amazing that that God is so open to us in the whole world.
Yes.
And then also, what, how wonderful it is, this 7-year-old girl child reading to her grandmother from the Bible. I want to ask you, like at 14, so that's quite... That's young, giving your heart to God. Mm-hmm. What changed in your life? And what was the challenges you faced because of because you became Christian?
Mm-hmm. It changed everything in my life. It was like I wanted to have friends. You know, when we
you
are teenagers.
Cool.
We want to be cool. We want to have friends. We want to be accepted by people. It was the season that God really gave me an identity. So I was seeing everyone around me seeking for an identity, and I found it in Christ. So I started evangelizing my friends. I have a friend, she was with me at school, and she says, you are part of my conversion because you always evangelized me. And like 5 years ago, she came to Africa to do 1 month missions with me.
Wow.
And it was her conversion was here in South Africa. Oh. It was actually in 2017 she came. So a fruit that as from a seed that I planted there at school when I was 14. So
I love that you say it's a fruit from the seed that you planted. And because I, sometimes people are like, oh, I always speak to people about Jesus, but they always look at me funny. It's okay, because I'm sure she looked at you a little bit funny. She was like, oh, girl, stop it. And then you gave her that curiosity.
Yes.
That curiosity of how can I get what Daniela has? Well, how can I progress? Mm-hmm. How can I move forward? Because wow, and that's part of the testimony. I love that. I love that. How did you end up in Africa?
It was my dream since I was 14. Since I had this real encounter with Jesus, I had this desire to do missions. I didn't know exactly what missions were, but I saw something and I heard something about people that they left their country and they went to distant areas to announce the gospel. And I said, that's what I want to do in my life. So I was praying for that and learning more about missions. And I used it to do like urban missions in Brazil. So I used it to go to the streets, to the squatter camps there in Brazil, we call favelas.
Mm-hmm.
So I used it to go there and to do this work with kids there at the squatter camps and with homeless people. So I was doing missions there. But then in 2016, there was a school of missions in Beulah Park here in South Africa. Okay. Then there was the opportunity and I said, okay, 1 month, I'm going and I'll stay there. Then I did this school of missions for 1 month. But when I was there, God told me, you will come back and you'll live here.
How did he tell you that? Because God speaks to us in different ways.
Yes.
Did he just create this wonderful love for you or what?
I always had it in my heart. And I always told my family, one day I'll leave everything. I'll go to Africa to do missions. Then when I was here, I said, it's okay, it's fine, it's for 1 month. And one day, everyone from the school, every student, they went to the Mount Zion to pray. And I said, no, I will stay here in my room. And I was praying and praying, and then I was listening to a Brazilian song that says that if you trust God, it's like you are taking the risk. And then the Lord said, it's time for you. The Lord spoke clearly with me. It's time for you to take the risk because it's easy to trust me. When you have your job in Brazil, you have your family close to you, you have your church where you know everyone, you know what to do there. But now I'm bringing you to a completely new country to live with new people, to do new things. Now I want you to take the risk to trust me. Mm. I could just cry.
To focus.
Yes.
Focus in there. That's scary, though.
It is.
And did you, how long did it take you to decide, okay, I'm doing it?
It was 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
When I was here, and then God spoke it with me. Then the pastor, who was the leader of the mission, like some days after, he said, me and my wife, we are praying, and God showed us 3 people for us to call to be part of our team. And you are one of them. And I said, I will pray. He said, God's confirmed me already. God spoke with you. I said, no, but I will pray a little bit more.
Because it's tough. I think, you know, leaving your family, leaving people who speak your language, your heart language, that's not easy. But you went to Mozambique.
I came to South Africa.
Came to South
Africa. Yes, okay. I lived here from 2016 to 2019. Then I went back to Brazil because God was giving me the direction to study. Then COVID came and everything. And during this time, I was working with education. Then I had my graduation in educational area. That's my passion. And it has everything to do with the mission in Mozambique. But I had been to Mozambique with Mosaic in 2019. And last year, I came back to South Africa. And God connected me again to Mosaic. Then I went to Mozambique and everything about the dolls and the child protection started.
Oh, this is wonderful. We're going to hear that development that goes in. And so you went to Mozambique and you met Geraldo there.
Yes.
Geraldo.
Yeah, they came with one of our partnering teams, Caladio, from Kenton Park. And they, you know, on an annual basis, they come with a support team. And Daniela, with another Brazilian friend, came along with her team to assist with translations and stuff. Yeah, so they only came there for a week, but we were very involved with children's ministry and the church planting and lots of women's ministry. And from there, we kept contact. During COVID, kind of lost contact. Then at some stage on social media, I saw that Daniela and some of her Brazilian friends are back in Africa and ministering. And chance had it that they were on their way to Mozambique, so I invited them to come to assist us with a training that we were busy doing in Manjacaz. And yeah, she came with a team, and I think during that time she got more exposure about the children's ministry work that we're doing and where we're going. And that's where I think God really also worked in her heart, and our conversation started to develop materials to equip children's ministry teachers.
So you started out with equipping pastors. Last time we spoke about the programs that you do to equip the pastors, to help them to grow in their capabilities to manage a church and a team and so on. So when did the children's ministry start to step in, and why? Why did you feel a need for that?
Yeah, so the vision has always been to assist Mozambican church leaders to disciple their communities. Our training started more than 15 years ago, where we worked with our support network in South Africa to plant churches in very isolated parts of Mozambique and to equip leaders, pastors, but sometimes even just normal church members in a place where, or let's say Christians in a place where there are no organized churches, to equip them to start small groups that eventually becomes a community of believers. So we've always done that. And along the years, we've seen that in the rural African context, pastors or leaders of churches often want to do everything in the church, and there's very few opportunity for members to serve in the congregation. We also found that children are often overseen, and, you know, the words and the terms, you know, just go right over their heads.
Yeah.
So one of the first things we started, this is already more than 10 years ago, we started to develop children's ministry, Sunday schools within the local church, and asked the local pastors to identify people in their congregation we might have a passion and the capability to teach children. And it was very easy for the pastors to say, yeah, they can work with the children. You can work with them. So we started with a system and a structure to train children's ministry leaders. And currently we've got more than 32 communities where we've trained more than 160 different children's ministry leaders to reach children. And this is now all over the last 8 years. And it's incredible to see how many of these children's ministry leaders that we've trained have actually become the church leader.
Oh, wow.
During COVID, a lot of pastors or leaders who were placed in villages to lead the church had to move away, passed away, or something happened that they moved on. And the next best person that was qualified and trained to lead the congregation was the children's ministry leader. So we've actually been working with them, and we've laid a very good foundation in terms of training with some of our partners here from South Africa, our support teams here. You probably know Erich Postimus. He's come our side. There's Brenda, who's helped us to develop a children's Bible in Chang'an. So we've laid a very good foundation over the years and equipped children's ministry leaders.
That is wonderful. So that is ready for that. Now you have this new project, which is Kuvikela Nwana.
Well done, Brent.
Did I do that all right? Which means children's safety. And I would like to ask you, when did this start, and why do we need this kind of program?
I can only just say where it started, and then I'll give it over to Daniela, who's helped us develop the program. So in our annual training and in some communities' monthly training, we've learned that there's a lot of child abuse in communities. Physical abuse for boys, but also sexual child abuse for girls. And in very isolated communities of Mozambique, these children don't have a voice. And as we train leaders, we've picked up that this is very prevalent, but there's no know-how on what to do, but also how to protect. And these, you know, these leaders are, even though they work with the children and they're well-equipped, they're sometimes still on the bottom of the ladder in terms of the church hierarchy, you know, and we have, you know, having a voice for the bigger congregation or the community. And so through the training, we picked up the need. And when Daniela came, I think it was 2003, when she came with a few Brazilian friends, gave them a little bit exposure about it. It's not my background and my expertise. And, you know, I think God just brought the right person and people at the right time who heard about it. And then through her connections, we've started to work and develop materials that could attend to the serious need in rural parts of Mozambique.
That's wonderful. I'm going to give you a chance to speak, Daniela, but we're going to go for a quick break, and then we will be right back with this. Remember, if you are listening on Facebook, you won't be able to hear the song. So please stay with us, and we will be right back. We're going to listen to Hier is die program Vreugde Joy. My name is Bertel Rival, and we are chatting to Gerard and Daniela. Daniela, just quickly tell us what your surname is.
I have two surnames, Romão and Bocagini.
Bocagini.
Yes, Daniela, okay. Romão, Bocagini. Brazil is a big mixture, so Romão comes from Portugal and Bocagini from Italy.
Oh, wow, Italy?
Yes.
How does that now? Wait, are you Italian too?
I'm half-half, because in Brazil, we received so many people from so many countries. So every Brazilian is not only Brazilian. We have a route from so many countries.
Sounds familiar. Sounds familiar. I think South Africans are the same. We've got so many cultures mixed into one, and that's wonderful. That makes us... I forgot to put that on. There we go. So we were speaking just before the break. We were speaking to Geraldo Erasmus. We were speaking about... the need for children to be aware of the sanctity of their bodies and the right to protect it. And I would like to know, how did that part of this story come about for you? Why did you say, okay, I will help. I will develop programs and things.
I always had a passion for kids and a passion for justice. Like, I always thought that the children of God, we cannot suffer, and even more a child cannot be abused, cannot suffer. So the cause of abuse was always something that broke my heart. And God always showed me how his heart is broken for that. And I always prayed, Lord, when I will be able to do something really involved in that. So I always learned, I tried to study about it, about child protection, about prevention. But I never had the opportunity. When I was a teacher back in Brazil, I used to talk to my students, but I never had the opportunity to really get involved. And last year when we were there and we listened about what was happening, it was like I really felt, if I saw it, if I knew the issue, I should do something. I couldn't just come back to my life and do nothing about that. So if I saw, if God allowed me to see the need, and if he was like stirring it in my heart for so many years, it was the time. I knew it was the time.
He creates a passion in the way that, in the direction he wants you to send, to send you. Because not everyone has the same passion. And that's what's wonderful, because otherwise we would have all focused just on one thing. But that is beautiful, that he just created that. He stirred it in you. He created this passion and love and empathy and endearment that you really need to be working with a tragedy. It's a tragedy. Ooh, I can't say that. Tragedy. Tragedy amongst the kids. It's devastating. And it can really change a child's life if they realize that they are truly, truly loved by God. And first of all, and second of all, they are worthy, that they are allowed to be protective about themselves. That they're not just the kids of their parents or the kids of the teachers or the uncles and the aunts. They are God's children. And that they have rights that goes with that. And that is so important for every child to realize. I know that in South Africa, there was a lot of upheaval around children being taught from an early age, the sexual education thing in schools and everything. And I was also, the way that they taught it was a little bit, I was a bit, but I promise you that those children being enlightened are empowered. They now know, it isn't normal to be touched like that. It isn't normal that these people are taking privileges on me. I can say no. Wait a minute, but wait. This person said they love me. They love me so much that they want to show me. And that's, that's not love. That's not, because that's not respectful love towards me as a child. And unfortunately, this has to be brought earlier and earlier to the attention of our children. You know, we are upset about it, that we have to teach our children to be scared of people. And that's not what we want to teach our children. We want to teach our children to be empowered.
Yes.
To not be scared in a situation like that. To be able to go, no, leave me alone, and run, and know that somewhere there will be an adult who will help them in a situation like this. So this will not bring them up in fear. This will bring them up in knowledge and empowerment. That's what I feel about that. I mean, yes. Am I hitting the button on the head or the nail on the... Well, I don't know what they call it.
You know? You said exactly what we do. I have here, I brought the 4 rules of protection that we teach for the kids. So it's exactly what you said. You say no, you show it, you scream, you run, then you go to a trustworthy adult, someone that will help you, and you tell them. So it's exactly what you said. It's what we teach the kids.
It's very easy to understand it if you see that. It's, oh, okay, well, you know, I know a thing or two. That's wonderful. But now, I want to ask you, how difficult is it to get permission from the adults, from the parents, from the chiefs, and so on, to be able to teach this to the kids in Mozambique?
What we do is we work through the kids' ministry leaders, because they are already part of the community. So they know the chiefs, they know the community leaders, they know the families. And we are receiving a very good feedback from them. So we train the teachers, then they can teach their kids. And our goal is that everyone will be involved. So they will speak with the parents, they will speak with the community leaders, with the school principals. We have a program that we want to bring it to the school that are the protection clubs. So with these encounters, they will teach the kids about identity, about the body boundaries, about how to not to be vulnerable, not to be scared, but to react. And we want to bring it to the schools for the kids to learn there. So when we work with the Mozambicans, they know the culture, they know the way to speak with the parents. And with the kids, normally we make like big encounters, big kids events. So we invite all the kids to the soccer field of the city or of the school, and we work off all the permissions from the municipality and everything. And then we play with them, we teach the gospel, and then we use our protection dolls, and we use a light way to teach them. And so far, some parents, they join, they see, and they are liking it. Because something that most of the leaders, they say us, is that everyone knows about the issue, but nobody knows how to approach it, how to teach the kids.
So, oh, my goodness. I mean, if you just speak to a parent and say, listen, you better tell your kids about the birds and the bees, they're already going into like, and that's normally, you know, at a later age.
Yes.
And now we need to do that younger. Oh, how am I going to do this? So tell us about how did the concept of the dolls come to life? How did that come, like, okay, this is what we're going to do. How did the process get to there?
Last year, so when we started everything, we were teaching the kids, and last year, a person showed us some dolls that I think they make in Namibia, some knitting dolls. And then we said, that's perfect to teach the kids. So we started and we said, oh, we can call them protection dolls. to work with protection. So we started, and the churches in South Africa helped us. So in the beginning of this year, we had 400 dolls, and they were different. We had knitting dolls, and then some people said, ah, can we make some fabric, some material dolls? Okay, let's do that. And then we could like make it better and better. So now we have this pattern
the
dolls. Yeah. Yes. And the concept is we use it as a very light and playful way to teach the kids. So we want to make the dolls like in the way kids we identify with them. And we have the albinos too, to work with inclusion, for them to respect each other and to see the differences. So we...
And to see that they're still cute kids.
Yes.
Even if you've got different skin colors.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So we teach the kids about how God created their bodies, the importance, their identity, their value. And we speak about the body boundaries. So instead of using our own bodies to show where nobody can touch, we use the doll. Okay. So we say there is no problem, nobody can touch you. So we use the doll that is not a child to show you. Mm. And we show them what is the good touch, what's the bad touch. And we tell stories. We use the creativity.
Oh, yes. And I'm sure you say, okay, so wait. Is this a good touch? And they must all go yay or nay.
Yes, exactly. Okay. We do that. So we ask the kids to give names to the dolls every time we go to different places. And our goal, so far we could give it to the leaders. We have leaders in distant rural areas that they receive the dolls, so they are teaching their kids, they are multiplying it. But our goal is to give to every child a doll. So the child can teach the others, can teach their friends about it. Because when they come to play, the kids will ask, oh, what's this nice doll? It's not just a toy. I'll teach you the story behind it. And it can also be a way for the child to report if something happened. We know that it's a trauma for a child to say, it happened to me. So the child can use the doll and say, somebody did it like this way. So it's a way to make it lighter for the child and to speak about a subject that nobody wants to speak about. But we speak it in a way that everyone will understand.
That is wonderful. I mean, so the children can understand what is going on. Ooh, I'm trying to read a message here, but now my mouse has gone, okay. No, he doesn't want that message out there. Okay. that is a wonderful way of just creating awareness. And not creating and not putting ideas and suggestions in their head of the children. I think it's creating awareness and it's telling them what is good behavior towards me as a person and what is bad behavior towards me as a person. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a big thing. Like you said, you are telling them how worthy they are. And how wonderful. How do you do that? How do you make them believe that?
I always ask them, I say, these dolls were made by ladies in South Africa or ladies in Brazil, but they are asking you, who made you? Then they say, God. And then we come, look at your hair, look at your skin, everything, your arms, what's the purpose of your arms? Then I like to work with kids making questions. Then we make them think.
Yes, and it's interactive.
Yes.
That's when it stays alive and they stay present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you said, we don't come and impose something. Mm. We bring awareness, so we make them thinking about their value. Because maybe some of them never heard it from their parents, never heard it from a teacher. So we make them think about that. What's the purpose? And we say, look how worthy you are, how God created you. Mm-hmm. And everyone starts seeing how they are beautiful and they are important. And we say even your intimate parts, they are created with a purpose and they are precious. And that's why they stay covered. So we say the value of everything and how the same way we can't allow anyone to touch or see, we also need to be respectful and not see or touch the intimate parts of other people. And this, we can teach a lot of things with that. We can teach an anti-bullying message. We teach them lots of things, identity, self-esteem, everything is involved.
Do you teach them about, I'm different than from you?
Mm-hmm.
We're both girls, but I am still a unique individual.
Yes. The first lesson of our Protection Club program, I use the example of a tree. So I try also to make the material and the program using the resources that they have there.
Relatable.
Because in the rural areas, they won't have like Play-Doh and paintings and paper. But they have trees everywhere. So I would say to them, each one of you take a leaf from the tree. They look like similar, yeah? But let's see the details. This one. And I ask them, tell me like two or three differences between these two leaves. And they say, and I read Matthew 6, which says, if God takes care of the lilies of the field, imagine of you. So I say, imagine God. He had the care to create two different leaves. Imagine you. So I ask them to see their fingerprints, that each one is different. And I say, everyone is different, but look at the tree. Imagine it when it has no leaves. It's not nice. Mm-hmm. So each leaf is different. But when we are together, look how beautiful it is. So it's one of the lessons that
awesome.
I use.
Awesome. I love that. I love that. And we can also learn from that.
Yes.
You know, that everything is so beautifully put together. But I love that. What will the tree be without all of his leaves?
Mm-hmm.
It will just be the tree, and it won't be as beautiful.
Yes.
And that's, I love that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I really, I want to ask you, since implementing this program, has it affected, do you know of anyone of the children that it has affected positively in their situation at home?
Mm-hmm. Yes. We have a case that one person who received the training, her sister knew about one case. And then it was like 1 week after she received all the training and all the knowledge, then her sister reported something in her area in another city. And she said, no, we need to make the denounce. This child is being abused.
Sure.
So because before starting the training, we went to the social action and to the places that we could have, okay, if it happens to a child, how can we report that?
Yeah, because now you are going to maybe get a child that comes up after the whole mm-hmm. training session and say,
Yes.
And then you need to be able to take action.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Then this person, she said, no, we need to report it. Then she called and the police went to the place, did all the investigation and arrested the man.
Sure.
Who was causing it not only to that girl but to another kid. And the girl is now receiving psychological support from the local hospital and health support. So it's a child that was free. And we also have another people say, the children, they are listening, they are teaching others. Another lady.
That was one of my next questions. Are they talking to each other now? Are they teaching others?
They are teaching others.
Oh.
So one of the ladies, she said, my child came to me and she said, the girls, they like to make like some games, touching other. But she is saying, no, nobody can do that. Our bodies are precious. You can't touch me here.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
That's wonderful. That's really.
That's beautiful.
You're also teaching them to look out for each other.
Yes.
And how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes they just don't know how. And that's what you say. Stop, scream, mm-hmm. run, and go to somebody you trust.
Yes.
And that is so important. Do you also teach them about stuff? This is okay behavior. So like a hug is okay. Well, depending on from who it comes in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are different kind of hugs, I suppose.
Yes. I also say them, if you want and if you feel comfortable, for example, if your friend or someone that you trust and you feel comfortable says, oh, nice hair, can I touch your hair? Yes, you can accept that if you feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. But if you are walking on the street and someone that you don't know comes, oh, can I touch your hair? If you don't feel comfortable, you don't need to allow it.
Mm.
So,
you know, I mean, here in South Africa, especially with the Afrikaans people, this is the way we greet our family.
Mm-hmm.
We give a hug, we give a kiss. Okay. So, but as of late, we realize that maybe we still should listen to our kids, even when they're small.
Mm-hmm.
When they say, I don't want to give a hug, it's okay.
Yes.
Because we need to give them that autonomy, that mm-hmm. that personal awareness that, okay, it's okay to say no.
Yes.
Even with family.
Mm-hmm.
I think especially with family, it's okay to say no. They need to be able to say that.
Yes.
So we as parents, when we go and say, I'm sorry, I just thought about a sketch that somebody did about how awful it is to always have to kiss all of the family members and how that's not cool. And that's like, we now say, you can greet the family, but be polite. But if you don't want to give a hug, that's not in your personal
mm-hmm.
space. If that's not the person you are, I'm a hug person. I love hugging people. But if that's not in your space, you must be able to say no. Even adults,
yes,
we should know mm-hmm. in that sense.
That's true. What I always do with the kids, I also love hugging. But I come in and say, can I have a hug? Or do you want a hug? Because sometimes the child doesn't want. And even more, in Mozambique, they're not so close physically. And sometimes they say, can I have a hug? Do you want to hug me? Always ask the child. Because sometimes we say, don't be rude. Give me a hug. A hug.
Yes.
And
don't be rude to your auntie. Go give her a hug.
Yes. Yeah. So it's important. The child also has their will, their opinion. So it's important to ask, can I have, do you want to respect
so their feelings? What we substitute that with is a high five.
Yes.
That's a wonderful, or a mm-hmm. fist bump. And then you can go, because if they don't want to hug you, then you can still be polite. You can still give a high five. A high five is good. Mm-hmm. That's and then also a fist bump. And sometimes you can do the exploding back fist bump. But that is important for a child to know that, oh, how I feel mm-hmm. about personal touch matters.
Mm-hmm.
So that is important for parents to bring home to their children. So that is what's necessary. All right. Gerard,
yes.
I'm going to give you time to speak now. Let's listen to a little bit more music. And then after that, we will be back with our last section, because we've got a challenge for you guys. Remember, if you want to speak to us, please send me a WhatsApp on 082-657-2729. 082-657-2729. You are welcome to send us a message, and I will see if I can fix my thingy here that it will be like that. But we are going to go for a break quickly, and then just hang on. Let me just check here quickly what's going on. I'm going to move that up here. And we're going to go for a little break. And then after that, We will be back with Gerard and Daniela from a Mosaic Upliftment and the Children's Ministry, what they are doing. So we are listening to, we're going to listen to Hallelujah SA, Kom Leef in My. This is the program Vreugde Joy. My name is Bertha Rival, and we are talking to the Mosaic Upliftment team here today, and that is Gerard Geraldo Erasmus and Daniela. There we go. Thank you, lady darling. And they're from the Mosaic Trust in South Africa, but they're working with the children's ministry in Mozambique. And I just want to give it over to Gerard now for a little bit so he can explain, you know, what you guys are. What are you guys are needing? What are you guys are doing at the moment? I know that you want to go out and fix all the playgrounds that you've already built and things like that. So tell me, what's the future look like at the moment?
Yeah, so obviously this subject against child abuse is a very, very difficult, very complex subject. And also we're very limited on what we can really do and where we can get involved in. And it's not a challenge that's unique to Mozambique. I mean, this is all around us. We've been very supportive by our South African church network over the last 2 years to help us with training and to help make these dolls. And I believe by creating this awareness for children and children's ministry leaders in Mozambique, God is also at work in creating awareness through our support network, even here in South Africa, Brazil, even in the United States, where we are raising support as well. I believe the importance for us and where we would like to take this to is to really create a support network. And Daniela didn't mention it, but God's given her a vision somewhere this year where it's like a mosquito net. And the more people take hands, the more people network, and the more people are aware and work together, the stronger this mosquito net is. And I had five mosquitoes in my room last night, and it kept me awake. And I was just thinking of this again. You know, the stronger the network is, the less chance there is for children to have to go through this. Mm. And the reality is there is a long history of pain, and we've started, you know, a ministry that is trying to protect this in the future. And you know, one of the challenges that we are facing, and I think I spoke about this last time when I was here, we had a topic on forgiveness. I don't know if you remember.
Yes, yes.
But as we train children's ministry leaders to protect children, we found that so many of these women have gone through it themselves. And, you know, they didn't know that they
could speak out.
And you know, just the tears in the eyes of leaders when you now give them a tool to protect children, but they still have pain from their past and still have to deal with it. Mm. And, you know, we're given a choice. The grace of God is giving us a choice every day. And so we work a lot with these leaders, and we've taken all these leaders through the process of forgiveness as well. That is really a spiritual warfare, you know, for your healing and your spiritual growth and your trust in God. But He gives us that choice and that, you know, that option. And not just in Mozambique, this is worldwide, you know, a challenge. Mm. So it's really our desire to create this network, but also to give leaders and children the tools in order to forgive so that they can make a choice for tomorrow. And what happened yesterday, you know, it shouldn't determine your future. But
it's not part of your personality. It's not part of your that is a big thing.
It shouldn't shape your identity.
That's the identity.
And your identity is in God. And what's beautiful, when we ask the children, when we give the children a doll like this, we ask them, in the beginning, we ask them to give the doll a name. They gave the child their own name, or the doll their own name. They started to identify with this doll, and now they're going to protect this doll, and they get the message that I can protect myself as well, which is really beautiful. So yeah, I'm very excited to see where this is going. So next year we have six support teams from South Africa that come every year to assist us. You know, every year there's different focuses. We build churches, we build playgrounds, we work with women. Next year, we're going to take this ministry and really empower the the 100 leaders that we've trained so far, to expand the training, we want to reach 300 leaders next year and give each leader a male and female doll so that they can teach the boys and the girls, you know, in a practical, very relevant and easy, soft way. But we also want to give each child that is going to attend the big child events a doll to take home. Now, in our context here in South Africa, and some of the listeners, your grandchildren or children probably have 10 dolls at home that they don't even use.
Yeah.
In Mozambique, children don't have a doll. So this doesn't matter how it looks and how simple it looks. It's the most special gift they will probably receive, you know, this year or next year. So we're very excited to challenge our listeners and our support network here in South Africa to help us to make 5,000 dolls next year. I believe it's only going to grow as we build a support system and structure. So we want to make 5,000 dolls, male and female. We've got the designs of these dolls on our website, which is mosaictrust.co.za, and also on our Facebook page, Mosaic Upliftment. We've got stories, we've got videos. Please go through the page. You'll see a lot. There's a lot of videos of training that we are doing. There's videos about the video. But we want to challenge all of our...
You're going too fast. You know, people like like it when we spell those websites and things. So let's just quickly give them... It's mosaictrust.co.za, and that is mosaictrust.co.za. Mosaic Trust. And that is, you will find all of this under the Children's Ministry info there on that webpage. And then also, you can go to the Facebook page, is Mosaic, M-O-Z-A-I-C, Upliftment. That is Mosaic Upliftment, and you will find all those videos that you were talking about right there. So, and also the info that you need to contact everyone. So yes, Mosaic Upliftment is now also commenting here. So let's put that up. They're listening. Your boss is listening. So the challenge is 5,000 dolls must be made by 2025. That gives us, what, a month and a half to do this.
So we've got outreaches coming in April, and three in July, one in August, and one in September. So during all of these outreaches, you know, we'll be visiting different communities with the support teams coming and have big events. But us as a team, and we're praying for God to provide us with more staff and resource to employ more people to assist us in this ministry. But this is something ongoing for us on a monthly basis. So we have training events, and on Sundays and Saturdays, we visit ministries. So it's ongoing, and 5,000 is probably not even enough. We need to expand it. But I believe God is going to open doors for us to get more people involved. And maybe you will start by helping Mozambique, but I believe this will also spread here in South Africa. And
yes, you are inspired today by doing this for the communities, for your school or something like that, this is, I mean, we gave you everything today to really reach out to the children of this country and of this continent, basically. But is this a difficult doll to make? Daniela, have you made one?
Not yet.
Okay.
But
okay.
I can.
So now you're challenging us to make it. You must do the pick up the challenge.
I filled it and I closed it. But it's not difficult.
You had like a production line and you filled one and you closed it then with a needle and thread.
Okay. The lady made, so she gave me like this and I stuffed it and I closed it and I put the clothes.
and all of the instructions are there on the website, how you can close it, how you can stuff it and all of that, with what and things like that.
Yes.
So it's a work in progress as well. So we've come, one of our volunteers has helped us with a beautiful design. She's a designer.
Oh.
She's helped us with a beautiful design and those instructions are there. But there's a lot of listeners out there with a lot of experience and probably practical ways how to make it faster and easier. So when people ask us to send us a design, we will send them a design. But we're also working towards designs and It should be on our site soon, on as we get steps to do it faster, cheaper, because 5,000 is quite a lot, you know. And if you spend too much time on one, you know, it might take you days to do one.
Yeah.
But there are definitely ways to make it easier. What I love, Daniela just returned from Brazil, and she brought about 35 of these without being filled. So
that's
in order to,
clever.
You know, we can even fill it in Mozambique. We'll find ways. I think what's important, you know, the child isn't going to evaluate, you know, what this looks like and compare it. Children are really appreciative. I think what's important is that we try to get these numbers and get people involved.
So, and the thing is, so we want the children to identify with these dolls. So let's not do the Barbie mistake, you know. Let's make these dolls in a dark brown color, so that the children can really identify. Let's look at the hair. Make the hair black or very, very dark brown. Braids. I mean, they can be so cute. And then you have the albino option as well, because that's inclusive. So I think that is also just absolutely wonderful to, so that the children can really identify with these dolls. And yes, so that's the challenge. 5,000 dolls for next year, for 2025, so that children can learn about their own autonomy, their own safety. And so that we can hopefully prevent future trauma for these kids. And I think that is... And then the way that you guys are doing this, by teaching them that they are made by God, that they belong to Jesus, and that they are beautifully and wonderfully made, that is just wonderful. These guys, I'm just going to put that on here. And they say there's easy to follow instructions online. If you want to participate, you can contact them at kidsmosaic@gmail.com. You can send an email there. So it is kids, KIDS, mosaic, MOZAIC at gmail.com. And that is in it. And then, of course, one of our listeners asked, how can she get in contact with Daniela? Because now Daniela really reached her heart. Natasha Barnes, she says, is there an email address that they can contact you? How can they do that?
Yes. Hi, Natasha. This email address is mine. This kidsmosaic@gmail.com is the email that I check. So you can get in touch with me through this email.
Perfect. So if you are going to email kidsmosaic@gmail.com, then you will reach Daniela right there. Any of last words for the program that you want to share with us? Yeah, Gerard, you look...
Geraldo, I also just want to say, to make it easy, if email is too hard, even on our Facebook page, if you just want to leave a comment, Child Protection Dolls, we will follow up with you if you feel like you can... make some. We need a lot of help. We've got a WhatsApp group where we communicate a lot. We can even share videos with you that we don't put on all our social media, just of weekly ministries that are happening. So it's really awesome to create this network of people. And you might on one of these videos one day see your doll being used there, you know, as training. So please comment on our post on our Facebook page if you want to get involved. And I do want to challenge you, you know, we've got awesome churches coming every year to come and support us. Maybe, you know, contact us with that as well. We've got very different denominations involved in our ministry. And I believe there's something for everybody to feel at home. And you will really love it. It will be a life-changing experience. And to see it firsthand and to give something to children that can't do anything back for you, you know, is one of the biggest rewards sometimes that we get in life. So, yeah, thank you. And thank you, Bertha, for the opportunity.
Yeah, it is absolutely a pleasure. Is there a telephone number that they can contact you on?
On our website, there are cell phone numbers, but they can definitely contact me on my South African number, which is 082-4133-872. And unfortunately, that is not my WhatsApp number. My WhatsApp number is a Mozambican number, as I live there.
Okay, okay. So that is the one we're going to follow. 082-413-3872. At the very least, you can have to call that one. It's not a WhatsApp number. So at the very least, you can call him, and then Gerard will give you more info on who to speak to here in South Africa.
Great
because
stuff.
You are, when are you leaving back home?
Well, as you've probably seen on the news, Mozambique is currently going through a very difficult period. And we didn't mention a lot of it of today, but we're going through many spiritual warfares because of the kind of work that we are doing. And we are really pushing Satan's boundaries to build God's kingdom. Mozambique is going through a really big struggle. And so the border is currently closed. We can't go home. We wanted to go back to Mozambique on Monday or Tuesday. There are probably other borders to go through, but we are looking at the situation. Next week I'll definitely be back in Mozambique. But yeah, please pray for Mozambique.
Okay.
We need a lot of change, just like South Africa, and we can just pray, together for, as we are very similar situations.
Amen. Amen. Yes, we pray that you will find divine intervention to be able to come back, that their eyes will be cloaked, that they will be unaware of you coming in, but praying for you to be able to go and continue with this absolutely wonderful work.
Amen.
Yes, amen, amen. And yeah, Tienus Derede is also saying, yeah, he's praying for us. There we go. Thank you so much. If you want more information, go to their website, mosaictrust.co.za. That is mozaictrust.co.za, and go to the Children's Ministry tab. And also you can go to Mosaic Upliftment on Facebook and find out a bit more. All right. From our side, that was wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And then I want to ask you, have you read our newsletter? See what we've been up to this past year, as well as what's coming up. If you haven't received it yet, you can check out our website at radiopulpit.co.za or SMS the word news to 37871 and we'll send it to you. So if you want to find out a little bit more about what we're doing, please SMS the word news to 37871 and we'll send it to you. We are going to listen to... First we are going to connect with Families of Virtue, and then after that we will listen to Annelie van Rooyen and Neem Ons Beder aan. But from my side, it has been wonderful to visit with you. Thank you so much, and we will do so again next week, Dio Volente, if God willing. Thank you and goodbye.